Welcome back, WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively at State Fair in Catonsville. Folks are coming in, and they're having fair, and it's stately, and I had a Western omelet.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Delicious, man. I had the ham, the cheese, all that stuff. Bill Cole's here. I did have the Cole roofing mug out this morning. I drank out of it. I was going to bring it, but I'm afraid of breaking it because it's sort of it's like the last one.
It's vintage.
It says 2019 on it, which I think you probably made it in like 18, which makes it like 6 years old. So it's getting to be that point.
Yeah, it's vintage.
We're doing this courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. It is the Crab Cake Tour. They have crab cakes now that they sit on Eggs Benedict here in the morning. It's delicious. I've given away a whole bunch of the Unwrap the Cash. We had $5 winner, $2 winner, $10 winner, 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 winner. I have the Oh Snap. You're under the weather, so you're sitting a little bit away from me, which I appreciate.
Just trying to be sharing.
These smell like gingerbread. They smell nice. And then the peppermint payouts, these smell nice, too. And these are $3 ones, so you can win a lot of money on this year. You got your multiplier going on. So the Maryland Lottery put us out on the road. Our friends at Window Nation, I have the Wacky Hat, and our friends, of course, at Jiffy Lube Multicare. Dennis Colossus is going to be here, couldn't be here this morning. Evan Brown was going to be here, was here, is under the weather, did not want to come on the set. And Bill Cole's sick. Tom Kelso still sick, couldn't be here today. I'm the only one not sick,
thing.
And it's I got to stay away from you.
Right.
You
do.
Well, you get out on roofs and the cold, and you do all this
I don't know. I'm blaming my kids for this one, but I don't really know if that's fair, but I'm blaming them anyway.
Is it the solar panels' fault?
No.
I'm whipping out my Trumpism now and saying that what the windmills cause cancer, do the solar panels cause colds? No?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, this one snuck up on me. My kids were sick a couple times, but I managed to dodge it.
Well, they're incubators for this stuff, right?
I get it. Yeah. But I dodged and dodged and dodged. And then, you know, Thanksgiving, it's like you get it. And hopefully I get rid of it within a month.
Well,
I'm
going to quote the great Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and calling it a super spreader. Thanksgiving is a super spreader event. The night before, certainly when all you Calvert Hall types get together and the loyal, everybody's hugging, drinking off the same this, toking off the same, whatever you're doing, turkey, pass this, hand me that. Hi, Grandma, it's good to see you. And then, I don't have any of that. The good news, I don't have any family, so I don't have to touch people during the holidays. That's why I'm the only one not sick this week.
Maybe. I don't know. It wasn't like we did a lot. I love that. That's questionably my most favorite 4 days of the year. Like, it doesn't have the same fever as the end of the year. It doesn't have all the stuff you need
to
do.
All you gotta do, buys a turkey.
All I gotta do is feed people,
right,
and then watch football. And so I really do. It's like a 4 day respite. It's a good one.
I just want to say this for State Fair, because we're here, and if you're looking behind me, this, I don't know whether this is Biggie Smalls or whether this is Kurt Cobain or whether this is Eddie Vedder. It could be anybody. It could be Stevie Wonder. But they're all wrapped, the entire place. And if I had Evan on, and he is sitting on the other side, but he's under the weather. The bartender, when I came here at 8:20 this morning, it's all Christmas music. And I was the only one here. I got here early. They served breakfast at State Fair in Catonsville. And it's all holiday cheer. I mean, the whole place looks like a Christmas garden, literally. And by the way, Damie from Fadley's, they're trying to get the fishmonger's daughter open. And I'm going to talk to her about this later this month. They have a beautiful train garden in the front of their space next door. It's not open yet, obviously. It's a construction zone. But they put this giant old school train garden out.
Nice.
So Catonsville has like a vibe about it.
Definitely.
That was the reason I wanted to do this holiday thing. But between Evan hugging relatives, you hugging relatives, Kelso hugging relatives, and I lost all my guests. So you're nice enough to come out. You sound like crap. You feel as bad as you sound?
No, I'm on the mend. Like, I haven't slowed down. You know, I don't know. We don't have rules about being sick right now, so I just keep,
my wife's been sick.
People that rely on me and things that I need to get done, and I got to do what I got to do. And I don't know.
Well, football's on your mind. You've been sitting here for 20 minutes, and sometimes I can't talk sports with you. And I've been trying to talk baseball. Baseball winter meetings are on. I saw Shannon Sharp over here.
Yeah.
This Florida State circumstance with college football. We got college basketball. Terps look awful, right? Like, start the season. But in the meantime, I don't know that you and I have known each other, I don't know, almost 30 years. I've had the station 25 years. We've been a part of this. I don't know that we've ever had 9-3 football team, everybody getting out of the way, coming off of a bye, home game this week, big road games, right? National TV next weekend, Jacksonville. We'll see Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. National TV Christmas night, playing the best team in the land. Then we play Miami, who might be the second best team.
Yeah.
In the, right? I mean, so we have all of these little mini playoff games coming up here. Sports is back. The baseball team won 101 games. They're not doing anything at the winter meetings, and we don't have a whole lot of confidence in them, but first place baseball team, division champion baseball team, football. From a sports
perspective,
doesn't
really feel like that, does it?
No, it doesn't. From a sports perspective, if this isn't the good time,
right.
What's the good time?
Yeah, I hear you. I think it was really good up until I saw our schedule, the Ravens schedule for, like, I didn't realize.
Well, they're not going to go 5-0, right? Say that.
Yeah, I think it could be tough. You know, I mean, Andrews, and we're going to miss him, and I don't know. I think 2 weeks ago or whatever, it was kind of like, yeah, we're good, but I don't know if we're this good. And everybody was, you know, squarely making that question. And then now it's like, well, we're about to find out.
Well, you're like I'm surprised we beat the Chargers.
Yeah, right? Like, if we win the majority of our games left, then I think you have to consider us legitimate. We have
to
stay healthy.
If they go 4-1, they're very legit.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, 3-2. If you lose in Jacksonville, you lose in San Francisco. I mean, I don't say the Steelers is a giveaway at the end, but I don't know where Mitch Trubisky is, and certainly where Joe Flacco is at this point for Cleveland. We're not playing them, but they have an easier schedule. And I thought the Flacco thing was fascinating over the weekend, that he can still play.
Sure.
He can still play.
Sure.
I mean,
and don't sleep on Miami, right? We have Miami in there, too. Right?
Well, Miami and Kansas City are the, you know, have sort of replaced Buffalo and Cincinnati now that even Cincinnati won. I mean, they think they're alive in their white helmets this week, right?
Yeah.
But the Ravens
really
are in
ugly.
The Catbirds
really
position
ugly.
Here. The Ravens own their destiny, and they've stacked up wins against backup quarterbacks, backup, you know, they had the PJ kid from Cleveland back in the beginning, and Dorian. I mean, they played bad quarterbacks the first half of the season. This defense is going to get a chance, much like the Browns,
right.
Number one Browns defense, until they weren't anymore against against Chargers. This defense is going to see a gauntlet here the next 5 weeks that's going to show us whether we're meant for Las Vegas or
I
not.
I agree. I just want to be on the record. Like, the Bengals going white is just terrible.
You hate
it. Like, well, I think that unlike a lot of other teams and logos and helmets and color schemes and all that stuff, the Bengal helmet, like, for children, that never goes out of style. Like, it is cool as cool gets.
Well, now they have two.
You know, yeah, but that's, I don't know.
I thought too. It was 1981 when they changed that helmet. You can Google this. Chris Collinsworth was a rookie. They played at Memorial Stadium. And the Bengals always had that boring Booby Clark, Ken Anderson, B-E-N-G-A-L-S, right?
Right.
Just said Bengals on it, right? And when they went to that thing, I would agree with you. They,
it's iconic.
Yeah, I mean, the Zubaz jungly kind of thing. My wife saw them on TV. She said, that's ugly. And I'm like, every person who's a Bengals fan thinks that white thing is the greatest thing ever.
I'm sure. Well, like the Seahawks in the neon green.
That was big.
Oof, that is such a bad idea.
Well, when they played in the Super Bowl
New
York, I went up to New York, and it's just Mr. Yuck everywhere in Times Square,
right.
You know?
I mean, I appreciate neon green being, like, on the color palette for the team. Like, I think that's cool.
But not a
but
primary.
But to run out there in a full neon green uniform is just such
all of the
such
color
a
rush.
Idea.
You know, when they look like ketchup and mustard and
right.
jelly, and
right.
we look like skinny grapes, kind of sort of. Yeah, it's a fashion.
Talk about timeless helmets. Here's your segue. Like that Michigan Wolverine helmet. Like, don't ever change that. Like, that is that's legit. Like, that's
well, they're
iconic.
In the playoffs. Florida State's not.
Right. That wouldn't be the way I've done it.
Well, but you're not trying to sell. I mean, it's a horse.
I don't care.
A horse game, right?
Yeah,
it's a horse game.
Yeah,
it really is. And it
but
always
is that
had,
really it?
Look, when I talk about college football, you're going to ask me what I think of it. I would say to you, what did you expect? This isn't
sure.
new. This isn't new.
Yes.
I go back to Brigham Young being undefeated 30 years ago and why we needed a playoff. We need a play. I've been on the air 32 years. I spent the first 15 nationally syndicated. We need a playoff. We need a play. Then they get a playoff, and then they screw the whole bowl system up. Then we're going to do one Fiesta, one Rose, one Orange. We're going to give money to everybody. We're going to give Fox a game. We're going to give ESPN. Now ESPN's going to buy them all. We're going to get – like so it goes on and on, but the SEC is – where the money is. Like, at one point it was with Notre Dame, it was with Miami, it's now with Alabama and with Georgia, and they have built the model that shakes out all the money for the NIL and for all of it. Get used to it. I mean,
right,
you know.
So they clearly made decisions that they knew were going to be controversial, although I don't know that there was any decision that wasn't going to be controversial. So the fact that we're all talking about it...
Well, we'll have 12 teams
like,
next year. That'll fix it.
That's victory one for them. I don't, you know, what's weird and hard to comprehend is even watching the Michigan-Iowa game, like the number of times the announcer said, oh, here, you know, whatever the kid's name was, transfer from wherever.
Right.
I mean, it's almost every guy on the field. And that's for Iowa and every other team.
Well, Maryland lost their kid yesterday.
How does this even work? Like, if you're able to do free agency in college football, which you are, right, and you're able to pay them, that is a significantly better show than pro football from the standpoint of they also have the pomp and circumstance and big alumni base, right? So it's an event. And pro football is struggling with that. They're struggling with the game day experience. College football, it's all about the
game
day.
Chad Steele told me it's perfect and that I should go home and watch the games on television.
Okay.
They didn't need more reporters. They don't need more tickets. By the way, I got my email this morning trying to sell me tickets for a game that they threw me out of. They want me to buy the PSLs now for $500, and they can't give the tickets away. And all along my time... How is this with a 9-3 football team?
Right.
I mean, the weather doesn't look bad. This isn't a night game. It's going to, you know, kids and the Rams are coming in. Matt Stafford.
Right.
Aaron Donald's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I mean, Aaron Donald's the greatest defensive player of this generation, not named Ray. And I had this argument with Luke this week, I believe. Well, maybe it was Raskin. I don't know. That Aaron Donald might be the best defensive player of the century. That's a Ray Lewis argument, Urlacher. You know, pick your Ed Reed, pick your player.
Sure.
But Aaron Donald's that good.
One of them, yeah.
He's that good.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I need a list, right?
Yeah, I get it. I don't understand. There's something missing. Demographics. I don't know. The television is too good. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going. So, you know,
have you taken to watching Thursday night? You're an old guy like me.
No.
Like logging into Amazon, stealing my kid's account, which is the way I do it, because I'm an American. I use his account to log in just to watch, like, week five, the Bears were playing the Commanders.
Half the time I forget.
And I'm like, do I care that much to log in?
Right. Half the time I forget and don't adjust my fantasy football
lineup. Well, my computer's
lineup.
My computer.
You know?
And I don't have, like, the smart TV. Like, people get on me about the smart TV thing, and I'm like, I have a TV. I don't want to spend $300 to have Netflix on my TV. Maybe my wife watches Netflix on her iPad. So we're all having screen issues, right, about how we do this. But sports is pushing us in a different direction, right, with Amazon and with games on computers and games on tablets and slime games for Nickelodeon. But baseball can't even... John Angelos can't figure out how to get me the game in the car when I'm on 50 driving to Ocean City on a Friday night on television because I can't stream it, even though I'm paying him to have it. You know what I'm saying? I'm buying the subscription through my cable provider, and I'm in the car, and I have to listen to the radio.
I don't think that's not intentional, you know.
What do you mean?
I mean,
would you want to charge me twice?
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. That's the old way with the old model. We need to do something different in the new model.
But I can watch Netflix anywhere I want once I subscribe.
I am a Disney Plus subscriber, and Indiana Jones, the new one, just came out on there. So I sat down to watch that with my daughter over the weekend. They have commercials in it now.
So you're paying for HBO with commercials.
Right. Well, Disney. Right. And it's like, and I'm looking at my daughter and I'm like, why are they showing us commercials? She's like, oh, I'm sure they have like a premium subscription now and we just have the regular one. I'm like, wait a second. What is going on? Like,
I got to pay you more to make the ads.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's terrible. I don't get it.
Well, we're all trying to figure this out. Like, from
the golden age of television has passed us by.
When everybody canceled on me today, I invited a whole bunch of people to come over today. So Pam Wood from The Banner, she's going to come on soon. Chris Pike, you couldn't get here today, but I'm going to have him on soon. Chris Corman from The Banner, a sports editor, invited him over. We're going to have Gina Schock at A Foreign Daughter. Got confirmation next Friday, so come on out to Foreign Daughter for the Crab Cake Tour. Janet Marie Smith's going to be coming on soon. Karen Faulkner's trying to get her on the show, talk some leadership and stuff, so she's going to come. Marty Conway was unavailable. Chad Wiesling, I'm trying to find Agent Chad, Alan McCallum, he couldn't do it today. So I had all these people when I canceled and all this stuff going on, but I wanted to talk a little bit of baseball at some point.
I don't want to talk
you.
Baseball. I want to go back to the college football thing because I believe there was a big miss in the world of like teaching our children and like good society and like
these student athletes.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a loose term. But they could have taken the opportunity to not take Michigan and tell them, because you lack integrity, we don't really know how good you are, so we're not picking you.
You cheated.
Yes, you cheated, and this is the consequence. Like, they had, it was, I mean, to have another team that they could reasonably make the argument for gave them this giant door to walk through to say, we will not tolerate
this. They're not
this.
About that. They're about selling tickets to Wolverine supporters.
I know. But I'm just saying, that's
Blue.
A really big missed opportunity.
Well,
in
college
just
football has always been
like
a ruse when it comes to like education and state financing and funding and its significance and going to class and hey, it's always
right,
been very,
have,
very slippery.
Right, but
now
they,
it's just out in the open for full banditry, right? Like,
like in the NFL, when you cheat, right, the owner has to go to a meeting with the other owners, and they're all sitting around the table like, seriously, man, we're all trying to do this together. We're all trying to make money, and you're going to cheat one of us? Like, that's literally taking money out of my pocket. Don't do that again, or you're not going to be a partner
anymore. That's really what got rid of Snyder in the end.
Right.
He stole money from them.
So, but in college football, you don't have that. You know, you don't have this, like...
No honor amongst thieves.
I mean, it's just, it's too fragmented and, you know, too many different schools and too much stuff going on that they can sit around and hold each other accountable. It just doesn't exist. I mean... So I think they missed a golden opportunity.
Well, there was no overall strategy for how this was going to work. The whole idea was land rush, wild, wild west, go.
Right.
And I heard Gary Williams almost a year ago now talking about there'll be guardrails put in. Really? By whom? Whom? Who is really going to? What's Florida State going to do about getting screwed? What are they going to do?
There's a Mike Leach clip.
What's the ACC going to do about this?
There's a Mike Leach clip. I think it's Mike Leach, right? When he Washington
yeah,
State?
Yeah.
There's a clip of him.
He was almost Maryland.
Right. There's a clip of him talking about putting together a committee to decide which football teams should play in the playoffs. And
who
and
picks the committee? That's my first
right,
question.
And like, oh, Bob's a nice guy. He should be on the committee. And no,
yeah, Bill Cole and I are going to pick the committee.
Right,
we're going to pick people we like. Who
it's
are
a really
do
good. It's
want.
It's pretty. He's pretty funny because he just like, well, why don't y'all just decide at the beginning of the year and we don't even have to play any of the games because you already know.
Just put Alabama
right,
in.
Right. Just put yeah. Just yeah. Pick. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's worth looking.
Bill
up.
Cole's here. We're giving away some O snaps. We're giving away some peppermint payouts. I've got some Wrap the Cash. And big appreciation for Roz for putting these together. We're at State Fair. We are in Catonsville in the 21228. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I got to talk to them about doors as well because they do doors. It is a holiday. You buy two, you get two free, 0% financing. And Jiffy Lube, multi-care. They got to give me a fun hat or something to wear, so I'm going to have to talk to my Jiffy Lube people. We're giving away winners out here. We're at State Fair. Folks under the weather, we're doing the show at Foreign Daughter next Friday. We're going to be at Wise and Honeygo the week of Christmas. We're going to be at Fadley's to end the year on the 28th of December. But it's been a hell of a run, dude. I did Crab Cake Tours every day. Friday, I'm up at Hollywood Casino. My wife's like, you're bringing more crab cakes home, aren't you? I'm like, yep. So I had five crab cakes that John Shields.
Are you ever going to burn out on crab cakes?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I did oysters last week at Gertrude's. And that's going to be, it's no secret, I'm going to do oysters next year. And I told John Shields that. So here's a crazy story of, I'm not really related to anybody, right? I mean, I have the Aparicio side. I have my adopted McGurgan side. My mother's maternal family, there was nobody else, right? Like, she didn't make any more babies. She had a half-brother. I got a half-cousin in Dundalk. I got a couple of cousins, like, scattered around the country. I have relatives from my adopted family in Delaware a little bit, but not, but I don't have any internal like Baltimore family, right? And I only have a son, right? And he doesn't have any kids. He has a wife, right? And I never really think much about her family because I knew her father. He died kind of tragically. I know her mother. She cat sits and whatever. So I don't like ask about family much. So John Shields came on the show last week. John Shields is a celebrity chef. He owns Gertrude's. He's a beautiful man, wonderful man. He came on the show. I had never met him before. I had heard all these great things about him. We were Facebook friends.
Oh, nice.
And I went to the Baltimore Magazine party a year and a half ago, and somebody from his place was there, and I gave a card. Manager was there, and I'm like, hey, I hear you have the greatest crab cake. I'm doing this crab cake tour, but I don't really want your crab cake. I want your vegan crab cake because Odette Ramos, Councilwoman Ramos, told me you have a vegan crab cake that's delicious, and nobody has such a thing. So I want, but he has three crab cakes on his menu at Gertrude's. He has a boardwalk, which is East Side fried the way you and I know it.
Right.
We grew up with.
Right.
He has the Gertie's, which is more of a Baltimore, you know, nice, lumpy, you know, country club crab cake. And then he has a Barbara Mikulski crab cake because she eats it and it's her crab cake. I don't even know what it is. It's some bread crumbed. I don't know. It's a bakery crab cake. So Tuesday last week, set up with John. We're coming in to do your place on Thursday. And I put out online his menu because his menu's eloquent. You know, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like fried oyster, just all these beautiful Chesapeake Kitchen items. And I don't know what the relationship is. You're going to be the judge of this, Bill Cole. My daughter-in-law, my son's wife's mother, writes, I don't know what her relationship is to me other than the other in-law, you know, the mother of my daughter-in-law, Cindy, who's wonderful. Her name is Cindy Shields Vate. Kevin Vate, her ex-husband, Kevin was on my Little League team, and his daughter married my son. Crazy thing. My dad's Little League team. So it's this crazy little family thing. So the Shields side of her name, she writes on my Facebook, John's my cousin. Give him my love. I love him. Tell him I said hello. And I'm like, am I related to John Shields? Like, so I ask him. He thinks we're related.
By marriage, right?
Yeah, but is that the most Baltimore thing you've ever heard in your life? That I have a relative that's a famous crab cake. His handle on Instagram is Mr. Crab Cake John.
Right. No, the typical Baltimore style is like my mom swears that Cal Ripken's my cousin.
How?
I don't know, right? Like, she'll try and explain it to me. But like,
how does she explain it?
You know.
Come on.
I have no idea. Like, I can't repeat it. But it's like her mother's sisters, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know.
My daughter-in-law is his cousin.
14th cousin.
You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean?
So that's, but we're all, I mean, you don't think that's fairly normal?
It's not normal to me.
I would say
I'm not related to anybody.
That. With the exception
of,
so
when I find out that I have a related person who's, you know, makes crab cakes.
With the exception of transient communities like Washington, D.C. or New York, or where so many people aren't born there and they move there, it's different. But for places like Baltimore or Detroit or St. Louis, I mean,
he married into my family.
Right. Like, we're all like, you know, three cousins away from each other or something. I don't know.
I was just happy to be related to such a nice man. So we had a nice visit. We talked about crab cakes, talked about oysters, talked about the oyster tour I'm going to do next year. He had these fried oysters on his menu. And you and I went through this at Damie's. I never order fried oysters. But when I've eaten them, I'm like, oh my. Because I don't know where to get them very often. You know, it's not a common item.
I enjoy fried oysters. Yeah,
and,
sure.
And get them at Gertrude's.
I mean,
no offense to Damie. I love you too. But those ones at Gertrude's were. And I said, are these special now? We just shuck them and You know, do them up in a little, real simple, and I'm like, flash fry them, and they're crispy. Mm.
So you want me to ask you a question just to totally put you on the spot?
Sure.
Okay. So what do you think the most significant thing that happened in 2023? Like, when we look back in history at 2023.
No, Israel and Hamas. I don't think any question about that. That's going to change the face of the next 20 years of our lives. I believe that. It's not going to end well. It's not going well for anybody, I don't think.
Right.
I think the Ukraine-Russia thing has quieted down a little bit, but there's still people over there dying. So I think things this year that happened like that, the AI phenomenon and it coming to a place where I'm using it, you're using it, people are using it, and what we're going to do with it, how we're going to control it, I think that's a big story for 23. What do you think?
Yeah,
I mean, locally
good.
In Baltimore, I would tell you it's a sports renaissance.
Right.
But this clown that runs the baseball team can't even get a lease to get prosperity. Like, true civic buy-in. But locally here, I think it's been a different kind of year with a different governor. And I think getting people out and about without a plague, even though you're sick right now and everybody's sick right now, I think we've had a much more normal year than we had in 2021, 22. I think this is the first year where we've all felt a little bit normalized and we're coming out of that decompression of the plague.
Right. No reminders, no flare-ups, no none of that kind of stuff where they put it in our face and we were actually able to like operate for 12 months without
shutting things
down. A COVID scare or whatever it was, whatever it evolved into. That's good. All right. What do you believe when you look back at 23, what is the thing that you will be the most grateful for in 23?
Good health this year for me. Like, my back has been better this year. It's still not perfect. I was stretching out. I mean, I have a degenerative disc. I'm going to need a back surgery at some point, according to three surgeons. I'm staving that off at this point. So, yes. I'll give you something I'm really grateful for having done this year. My wife and I only really went on one vacation together this year. We went to Maui, and we didn't want to go. I booked it. It was so cheap. I had a really cheap flight. I bought one of those Black Friday things that happened last year. And I had some, like, literally $209 flight to Hawaii, and my wife could go for free, right? And then we got room. And I'm like, well, it's going to be expensive to be there. Then we found some situations that were affordable. We went, and we had dinner in Lahaina three nights almost in a row. We fell in love with this little Italian bistro called Sale Pepe, and it's been incinerated since the time we were there. So I am really grateful that I got to see Lahaina and experience it one more time before the tragedy struck.
Sure.
So you're asking me deep questions. You're asking me deep questions.
Well, that's good stuff. What do you...
I am experiencing the left-handed gratitude of the awfulness and the despicable nature of the Baltimore Ravens front office and their lies and the owner and Chad Steele and figuring out positive things to do with the time that I have been gifted back to not spend time asking Lamar questions that he doesn't want to answer and asking John Harbaugh questions that he doesn't want asked. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's not right in any way, but I have really tried to use this year, specifically this year, because I've had more time to plan, to know that I've been thrown off a radio row, I've been discredited, that they've called around the league to tell the league that I'm no longer a real journalist, even though I'm sitting here doing the work I've done for 32 years with the same integrity I've done it. I'm using that time more wisely. So
sure.
The Wednesdays I used to drive out, last Monday I would have been in an airplane all day long, flying home from Los Angeles, spending money to do that, to cover the team honorably. So I'm using time differently. It's 23's taught me. We all have the same time, I know that, but to use my time even more, expeditiously, I don't know.
Strategically.
Yes.
Passionately, something. Yeah. All right, how about...
I'm not wasting time.
Right.
I feel like a lot of... And I expressed this to Chad Steele and Kevin Byrne, that I felt like as a human going out there to a cattle call to be treated like trash by Chad Steele, to be... treated with indifference and disgust and disdain by players and by coaches, like an intrusion, like an imposition, like I was lucky to be breathing their oxygen after a decade of that. I'm okay with the fact that I'm not subjected to that any longer.
Right.
Because I did say to them, you know, this is a big waste of time, right? Like, we come out here, you guys are all full of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I did point that out, and it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
It doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
We don't have to be treated like we're visiting a prison and we're the prisoners.
Right.
Like, literally, that's what
I
it's
gotcha.
Like. Like,
yeah.
We get cordoned in. We might as well put shackles on us while we're, you know, everybody else is free to run around. We're almost like the zoo creatures when we come in the locker room.
Right.
We're being looked at by them like we're the ones in the cage. It's a really strange dynamic that I can express to you, but, like, to fans, it's bizarre. And it wasn't that way. I did this work. I've done this work since I was 15 years old. It wasn't that way walking in the Skipjacks locker room, the Orioles locker room when Rick Vaughn ran it, the Ravens locker room when Brian Billick and Kevin Byrne humans were running it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sports wasn't that way. It wasn't that way when Ron Vanderlinden ran the Terps. Was that way when Gary ran the Terps? Because, you know.
Is it a product of money, or you think something else? Like, the money's
arrogance,
just gotten
ego,
so big. You
arrogance,
know?
Ego, yeah. Self-importance, and lack of need and or respect for any of it.
Right.
For any of it. These kids come in now, you're giving them NIL money, they think it fell off the Maryland Big Ten tree, right? Like the turtle tree, right? When they come in, there is no, to your point, there's no loyalty, they'll transfer out.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's all a big ticking time bomb that will explode at some point.
How do I go to that kid's locker? And you can't ask him anything about football because he's not allowed to talk about it.
Right.
You can't ask him anything about life because he doesn't know anything. And you can't ask him anything about the transfer portal because, like, it's this sort of like asking you why you left your ex-girlfriend. You're just not allowed to ask that question, right?
Yeah.
Even though you want me to buy your jersey at the team store.
Right, sure.
Right?
Of course.
Even though you were at Mississippi last year and you're at Alabama this year, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know, dude.
It's pretty weird.
Joe Flacco's playing for the Browns right now. We don't think that's weird at all. It's just he's going to earn a buck, right?
Well, except that, again, there's a salary cap. So, like, don't lose sight on, like, you know, it took pro sports a long time to continue to tweak their model, right? To
get baseball still doesn't have it right.
Right. Just, and they're suffering the consequence
of
that.
Yeah,
and now you've got college heading down a disastrous path, I think. But who knows? All right,
I agree it's disastrous, college. I fully agree it's disastrous.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how anyone could ever have as much interest moving forward as we once did in the past.
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty compelling. Like, Alabama, Georgia, that, like,
unless you're
that's
there.
That's a really good football game to watch. Like they are really good. I mean, it's pro, right? It's like professional. It's like junior professional. It's not minor leagues, right? But it's, I guess it is. I don't know. It almost feels more exciting. It's more exciting than a AAA baseball game.
They compete
game,
with Vanderbilt,
right?
Though. You know what I mean? They're competing with other places that can't. Look at Maryland. Maryland is
that's what I mean
Maryland
by the salary cap. There's no salary cap.
Maryland's a world-class institution, right?
Right.
It's been there 150 years. Educate people. Make doctors. You make lawyers. You make, you know, we make football players. We make basketball players. Like, all of that. They have billions of dollars that flow around from tax dollars and education. They can't compete with Michigan or Ohio State of football or Penn State, and they'll be trying that forever. Even though they have a billion, they don't have a billion in one.
Right.
And if they get to 2 billion, Michigan will have 3 billion. You know, like, that's the way this is, and the haves and have-nots are separated. Used to be haves and have-nots separated by cheating, right? How is Maryland ever going to put a football team on the field that competes with Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama or those places? How's that going
to
happen?
And to that end, it does not appear that the NCAA cares.
How's Rutgers going to do that?
You know what I mean? But they don't care, right? Like, none of the rules.
Then you're going to have the Washington Generals playing the Globetrotters.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
None of the rules. There aren't any rules in an attempt to level the playing field.
All right. So
there's no strategy. There's no referee.
Right.
And there's no judge.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no oversight.
Right. No limits.
Speaking of
no
oversight,
limits, that's
John Angelo
is
trying to get rid of the Maryland Stadium Authority, and we're tick-tocking. So let, next time we get
really
together in January.
Talk about that? Yeah, I don't want to talk about that right now.
You don't at all?
No, no, I do.
Do you think
I,
how it's going to end?
I like.
I just want to predict.
I like your updates. It lets me not have to follow it right as closely as I would otherwise. So I do like hearing about it. I don't know how it ends. I have not allowed myself to think about it long enough. My biggest fear is that the Maryland legislature makes some decisions that everybody's not going to like a whole lot. And then I think we are in jeopardy, and it could get very, very interesting.
I mean, the
$1.2 billion came from a bill, you know, that they got passed. So
quietly.
So if you pass a bill to giveth, you pass a bill to taketh away, right? So if you really want to misbehave, I mean, that has to be a concern that's on the table.
Good. I like, you know, legislators playing hardball. I mean, that's what they should be doing with billionaires.
Maybe, yeah, right. Maybe. I don't know.
What other billionaire would come in and say $600 million is not enough today?
Right.
Under Armour would love that money, right?
Sure.
I mean, McCormick would love that money. Black & Decker, right? You know?
It's disappointing. It's frustrating. It's sort of interesting.
But much like Florida State being left out, it's what we expect from sports, right? I've been doing this 32 years. I began by saying my father, who, you know, passed away 30 years ago, his whole thing about sports was all of those life lessons of teaching fairness, integrity,
right,
competition,
right,
you know, shaking hands at the end, playing by the rules, penalty when you break the rules,
right?
Like all of that teamwork. Sacrifice, like all of that we teach, it's not really about any of that anymore, which is one of the reasons I'm not as attracted to it as I once was.
Capitalism, okay, when you make it about money, you are going to have people who work really hard to find loopholes, push the limits, play in the edges, because it's about capitalism.
That's why we have laws in the country to put people in jail when they're Bernie Madoff, right? Like, right?
Yeah, but I don't. Like deflating the football, right? That's not a jailable offense, right? Other than if, like, I think the gamblers might think that's a jailable offense, right? So the closer that gets to it, the more interesting.
Well, you and I did
gets.
An hour on officiating last week, so yeah, you know, we get on that. Bill Cole's here. We're at State Fair. He doesn't want to talk anymore about leases. He wants to talk about peppermint payouts and gingerbread cookies and Christmas trees and really cheers to Evan out here, not only for just running all these great places in Catonsville.
Yep.
He's been under the weather, but it's really spirited in here. You know, he's taking Kurt Cobain off the wall and Joan Jett's off the wall. They've wrapped all of the paintings in these fantastic Christmas wrap.
I'm actually going to take the other side of that argument. Like, I get it. I appreciate the festiveness of it. But the pictures are one of my favorite things about the place. Like, I bring my kids in here, and we have quiz time.
Well, bring them back in 3 weeks.
Right? We have quiz time.
Who is that, Biggie Smalls? Or
you know
is that
who that is?
Is that
who that
what's
is?
Happening?
Yeah, well, that's fun. It's always a fun game. Sure.
All right. Well, you got anything else you want to talk about? Solar? You want to talk about roofs? You want to talk about getting a good snowstorm so your roofer types can stay in business?
Yeah, no. I mean,
we're going to get some snow, right, at some point.
That's what they say. But like I told Evan, I'm not sure who they are, so I don't really know how that works. You know, just blessed and grateful. Another really good year. Feel like our world is moving the ball forward, like, we seem to be finding ways to overcome challenges.
See, for me, the things that are getting worse, I'm finding other things that are getting better, right? I'm finding other things that I can enjoy about life.
And from a really high vantage point, it looks like we may have been distracted by things that weren't always the most important thing, and now we've been told to look and pay attention to other stuff, and that stuff might be more useful for us to look and work on.
I'm going to give you a Maryland Lottery ticket here, and it's because I love you, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. I'm going to give
you
the purple O-Snap It's scented like gingerbread if you do it. So just you can smell it on your own because I'm not touching anything you're touching because
doesn't
that
smell
nice?
Very
doesn't
very
that make you want cookies? And,
it smells wonderful.
Now the peppermint ones have been compromised because they've been next to the O Snaps. And John Martin warned me that if I push one against the other, the peppermint would be the
overwhelming.
No, the gingerbread's the overwhelming. The cinnamon's overwhelming. It smells a little bit like when the Inner Harbor did in the 80s when I was a boy. At the McCormick plant, it would smell like cinnamon.
You're being generously nice.
You don't think the Inner Harbor smelled like cinnamon some mornings?
It did, of
course. It did a lot.
Of course.
Sometimes it smelled like garlic.
Very good. I can't imagine there was a day when the Inner Harbor smelled this good.
Well, we're sniffing lottery tickets out here. It's what we do. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, 0% financing through the holidays for 5 years. Dennis was going to be over here. He's over at Coons Baltimore Ford. Leonard Raskin was supposed to be here. We're going to get him next week. We're going to get him up at the Foreign Daughter. And then Evan, we got to get him better. We're at a state fair. They do such a great job out here. This is the original location. You couldn't believe this was a Friendly's, right? This was a Friendly's for a generation.
Yeah, really. I did not know that.
A lot of Fribbles served here.
I can't even really envision the Friendly's in this space right
now. This was a Friendly's. Yeah. So we got this. We have El Guapo across the street, the basement underneath where you can play simulated golf, have a good time with the games, a real sports bar in a basement here in Catonsville. Great, great. Not just Mexican food upstairs, but all sorts of Latin American food. Then Beaumont, which is my wife's favorite place where we get the big old pork chop, get a big steak. I love the Brussels sprouts. They have a great salad with this. They have this candied bacon that they put on the salad and the vinaigrette. It's delicious. And they do a fried lobster tail there that they only do there. That's a chicken fried lobster tail. This is over Beaumont. Why am I doing a show at State Fair again? Why am I not at Beaumont?
I don't know. I had dinner at the Beaumont a couple months ago and it was dynamite.
You know why I'm doing it here? Because I came over today and I surprised everyone. Always a shrimp and grits guy, usually a chicken and waffles guy, sometimes a crab Benedict, but to your point, I've had a lot of crab cake the last week, thanks to Coco's, and thanks to Pappas, and thanks to Costas, and thanks to Gertrude's, and thanks to the Hollywood Casinos, which was a great crab cake as well. But I had just a Western omelet here today, and home fries. Great. The home fries were a 10. The omelet was a 9.8. Delicious. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
It's holidays. Yeah. State Fair.
Good stuff.
Come on out to Catonsville and tell me what you do in the roofing business and solar.
We try and fix commercial roofs, and then if appropriate, we'll put solar on top of those same roofs or other roofs or the ground or parking garages. Really just trying to be the trusted phone call when something happens on your roof that's weird, or if you want to try and get ahead of that and think about your roof before something bad happens. Like, we love all those.
Your guys came out to me last spring and they're like, it's getting to be time. Yeah. You know, it's what they told me, and I think I still owe you money from the gutter project you did for me. You say it's getting to be time. This is when it's a tough talk, right? Like, I have a massive project at the radio station that's going to cost me about $20,000, right? You know what I mean? It's something that has to be done. I'm not going to talk about it in gross terms on the air, but there's something that has to be. It's not septic. Something that has to be done, right?
Right.
So this is a $20,000 project that JR's like, I might be able to get it done for 10 or 12. And I'm like, whew. Right. Now then I'm going to come to you and say, all right, dude, set me square on this. What's this really going to, you know? And I'm going to think, well, it's a roof. It's probably, what, $5,000-$10,000? And you're going to say, nah, dude, it's $28,000, right? Or you're going to give me some number that I'm going to think 1985 pricing about this. And I am the candidate you're talking to, Bill. I have a roof. You know, your guys have been up there and told me, it's been 3 decades, dude. It's getting to be time. You're going to need to do something here. And I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
As a human, I don't want to hear JR telling me I had this other $20,000 project. Although, if the tower fell, that wouldn't be good.
Right.
So, you know, there are fundamental things. Like, when septic goes bad, you can't see it. You can smell it. But you got to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I don't want to do a roof.
Nobody likes it when
I need a roof.
Right?
And I'm like, la, 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 la.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
hear it.
Exactly. I get it.
Literally.
Right. I understand. That is my fate.
La, 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 la. By the way, I'm going to have to give a lot of lottery tickets. State Fair is very popular. Lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody's coming
filling
in
here. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
No?
Yeah.
How, you mean, you're going to give me a number? Is that the way you're going to... You and I are going to... You're going to come over and say, look, you can go A, B, or C. You should do C because C is going to be good for the next 20 years or whatever your thing's going to be, and you're going to give me a number, and then I'm going to have to, like, bite hard on my budget, my business budget next year, and say, well, there's 28 grand going right off, you know, whatever that number is right off the bat, because I'm already dealing with that next year as a business owner, like, literally. And if you have a little surplus, pay for it this year, right, for the tax man, whatever. But this is the time of the year, like, you're, like, worse than a car. You're worse than, because I don't even see the roof, right? Like, if I got to buy a new car, I'm like, new house, new washer and dryer. Man, a roof doesn't have any function, although it is the function. I know I had a basement flooding problem. You know about this a couple years ago.
Right.
It's like, there's no upside to all this money I'm pissing away. But when the basement happens, it's a flood and it's a mess. Same thing with the roof. But this preventative notion that you have told me, dude, you need to get a roof and then you need to budget it. That's probably the toughest part of your job, is getting me to, like, realize my tower's going to fall unless I put this money at it, and I got to do it this year. Got to bite the bullet, as you say, right?
It, like, is.
Eat the frog.
It is, but what we believe strongly is that if we can have some of those conversations before it's really time to do it, then there are steps that you can take to, you know, make it last longer. So if you're a life cycle buyer, right, like, the building's going to be there forever, and you do proactive maintenance so that you have to replace it every 30 years instead of every 20, well, you know, that means that you're at 60 and 90 instead of 40 and 60. So twice instead of three times in 60 years. I mean, that for our clients, for institutional buyers, for schools and hospitals.
I need you to come out to my place and lay about 10 solar panels and price that out for me and let me know how that's going to save me some dough, because that might pay for the roof itself. I don't know if I put the roof, the panels on my roof or not, because I got land. But, like, I am at the point now where, like, you have told me. He sat here before we went on the air, and he's like, well, if we had 12 inches of snow on a Friday, and it melted on a Saturday, and by Sunday, you'd really be screwed. You'd be the guy that has to get the whole new roof, because I'm already getting there, and you've warned me that if I get it done ahead of time, I won't have water coming and falling on in the middle of my.
Well, you definitely
stuff
would prefer to do it before it starts damaging things.
Well, you've already
inside
told me this,
because
and you've already told me that one nasty
more
storm
right
that goes the wrong way on a Saturday night with a foot of snow
right
will really screw me up, and you'll be backlogged right at that point. Right,
right.
I mean,
right, right,
so
right.
I'm speaking for you. Not
I get
you
it. No, I totally
the,
get
I'm
it.
The guy
it's
that
it's,
I know that I need you, and I'm sitting next to you, and I'm still going to make you go the other direction and say, call me when the whole roof caves in, because that's the way people are.
Yeah, it's maintenance of your asset, right? Like, your building, your house, whatever. They're assets that you've invested in them. You have to think about how much you're willing to be proactive to prevent
I'm
the damage.
I'm thinking
damages
about the rust that are holding the cables up to my tower right now and thinking, yeah, I better fix that.
Right.
Can't see it, can't eat it, can't enjoy it, can't lay on the beach, can't get any pleasure out of it at all, but it has to be done.
Right.
Remind me to call my septic guy.
I don't know how we justify that in our brains. That is a challenge we all have, right?
I know. All right. It's like buying insurance.
New cars are way more
fun. That's why I get Leonard Raskin for that. I call him and say, how much insurance do I really need?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Bill Cole is here. He will insure your roof and safely and well done if you're a commercial space, as well as solar. He's also my pal. He's also somebody I shouldn't be touching or coming near at this point, even though he says it's a sinus infection. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery are giving me these to give away. We're going to be at the Foreign Daughter next Friday, the 15th. We're going to be at Wise Markets the week after. I'm still working on the time there. Maybe I'll get Dennis out and Leonard out for that, and then we're going to be at Fadley's to wrap up the year, and I'll be eating crab cakes to end the year, and lots of folks are coming out this week to enjoy Dan Rodericks in our show. Baltimore, you have no idea. Big thanks to everybody here at State Fair for treating us right. Kirby's been great to let us in this morning. Tammy's making sure my coffee's delicious, and Evan's under the weather, and Keith, get on out here, eat some pit beef from them, get over to El Guapo, hit the basement, hit State Fair. Enjoy all the Christmas decorations. They do not, I found this out, there's only one Mariah Carey song in the whole playlist. That alone makes it a place you want to visit. I am Nestor. We are WNST, signing off from State Fair in Catonsville on behalf of Bill Cole. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.